Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about what happens when people meet. We meet people all the time. Let's take a look at the interactions we have with the people around us in order to try and make the best of it. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, we meet many people, and it could be a meeting that we paid no attention to, or it could be a very meaningful meeting for better or for worse. And on this show, we'd like to understand what happens when two people meet. What kind of interaction takes place? Is there something that passes from one person to the other? Is there a kind of connection or mutual influence? Or we just met and then each of us goes his way? Or is there something extra that we get out of this meeting? And I'd like to ask, what parts in a person meet when two people meet? When I meet someone, actually, I meet two images inside of me. The one is that I'm impressed by that person, the impression that I have from that person, and the other image is my own, that exists inside of me. And then I start comparing how much my thoughts, desires, expectations in regard to this stranger meet what I want. What meets there? The senses, the thoughts, an image. The image of a person where the senses and the thoughts and everything else, that only precedes it. But the main thing is his image, that this is how I see him in me. This is how I depict him within me right now. Maybe later I'll change my opinion. And so I'm in front of this picture that I'm depicting within me. So first of all, it's not the person as he is, but the way I depict him within me. Meaning, it could be very far from how things really are. Maybe I'm prejudiced on the matter, and so on. Okay, I depicted this image inside of me of that other person, that maybe someone else will see that person in a completely different way. Of course, what do I do with that image that I depicted inside of me? I start working with it. I don't relate to the person who's in front of me because I don't see him. I see him to the measure to which he was depicted in me. What do I do with this image? I talk to it. But it's not only talking. There are many emotions. We start interacting. What does it mean to start interacting with the image that I depicted inside of me? That I influence him and I feel how he influences me, and accordingly I examine, did I shape, did I form him correctly to begin with or not? And then, throughout these mutual actions, I toward him and he toward me, I all the time change my opinion about that person. Better, worse, more or less in terms of politics, education, culture, outlook on life. Suppose I have these 20 parameters. There are many more, but suppose 20 that I constantly examine. And then, all in all, the impression from all of these parameters gives me his image, and his image changes all the time, getting some kind of a new shape, a new form, design. There are people that it's pleasant to be next to, and there are people that you feel that it's unpleasant to be next to. Yeah. What's going on? Many things. First of all, it could be that to begin with, I dislike this type of people. I don't like talking to women. I don't like redheads. Especially redheaded women. Meaning there's prejudice here that I'm not always aware of, and I have to, first of all, calibrate myself. I have to bring myself to a kind of inner compensation that even though it's a woman and a redhead and this and that, I look at her in a neutral way, as an example, or a man one way or another. It could be a dog, it could be a horse, or it could be a phenomenon that's unrelated to the still vegetative animate or the speaking. A phenomenon. And also, in regard to it, meaning I always have to calibrate myself to be objective. To be free of whatever I feel now, as if I'm a machine now that is impressed by something in the most objective way, not in the direction of what's better or what's worse for me or what will I get out of it, and so on. And then I really have the correct interaction with a certain person, phenomenon, could be animal, plant, doesn't matter what. I'm approaching something stinky or something that blinds me or something. I don't know. Anything that I usually respond to, I have to bring myself to a state where in relation to myself, this is called in order to receive, meaning that it is related to me. I don't take that into consideration. I don't want to be a bribed judge. That's bribe because these things are pressuring him for better or for worse. Would it be correct to define this entire process as calibrating myself, all of my opinions, feelings, emotions, everything? A judge has only what his eyes see. The eyes, that's it. Neither memories nor impressions, prejudice, nothing. I as if take a picture of that person, not emotionally, it's unrelated to me or to my nation or to the world or to anything. Then, this way, I can be a judge. What happens inside a person when he's neutral and calibrated? Where he's really calibrated without any memories, feelings, in the most objective possible state. What happens in a person in this state? That he really wants to be as a judge. It's a very exalted place because he has nothing of his own. And how does he see the other person in this state? Then, in that state, he can reach a state where he really starts seeing an independent reality. How it behaves for a higher purpose. So it's not the way that he imagines that person inside himself because of all that he has before, but how does he perceive him in a what we call objective way? What is objective? Objective means that there's nothing in it for me, for my nation, for the world, for nothing. For what then? for the purpose of the upper nature. In this state, we see both the good and bad things in a person. What do we see there? Do we see only good, or do we see the good and the bad? You have to look at all the people in the world, at how they behave, and how much their behavior leads them to that ideal, final state, corrected state. This is what you have to see. Nowadays, there is lots of tension in society and between people due to different outlooks on life. If the person I see has a different opinion than I do, then immediately between us there's a wall. And arrows are starting to fly from one side to the other. What's incorrect about that? Where is our basic mistake in this picture? That we're not attributing it to the upper force, to the higher force that brought us together. And that the upper force brought us in conflict with one another in order for us to feel a need for a correction, to bring ourselves to some happy middle. And the happy middle is that above all of these contradicting emotions and opinions, we want to bring ourselves to a state of completion. So you're saying that I see the opinion of the other person as the meaningful thing, meaning that once I meet a person, the only thing that's important to me is that that person's opinion doesn't suit my own opinion, my own views. And what I understand or see from you is that, I mean, can you give me the right picture? What's so distorted about the way that because we're in a state where our ego, our personal benefit, directs us in everything and is at the very essence of all of our qualities, all of our traits. I love, I hate, I want things one way or another, I think one or another thing. Doesn't matter. And talk, thought, or action, I always aim to the benefit of my ego. To begin with, I'm directed to benefit my ego. My ego controls me, the human part in me, my thoughts, my intentions, my desires. And what follows is that I'm a slave to this quality, that maybe there's nothing good about it, but still I have to do it because nature forces me to. And how does that influence my encounters with other people? That gradually we learn the measure to which how phony we really are, how egoistic we are, how we distort everything. And all life long, and our entire life, we're directing everything to make us feel good, and not at the truth. This is all in all what I discover from my life. If I could advance in this process of calibration, that I meet a person and it's like a clean slate, were I to succeed in advancing toward this exalted place, what would that do to our encounter? You'd work on yourself in order to understand that the other person that's in front of you isn't a persona, but it's the representative of the upper force that you have to love more than yourself. What is that upper force? The upper force is the force of the upper system. So what does it mean to be a representative of the upper force? That he shows you how incorrectly arranged you are in relation to the upper force. What is the upper force? To be in completion, in peace with the upper system. What do you mean by the upper system? The general system of nature. And the system, it brings about these different encounters with people that usually I approach out of my egoistic vision. I have to calibrate myself, clean off all these things, and then if I can do that and I open my eyes and I look at that person that system brought about, what happens now? Well, I didn't say that this is what you have to do, but suppose you have to reach a state where you see that person as a messenger, as a representative of the entire system of nature, and that you have to love him. And then that means that you're corrected. So I'm also representative of the system of nature, if so, and so is everyone else. You are a representative of the corrupted part of nature. He's a representative of the, suppose, corrected nature. And you have to change yourself. You have to correct yourself up to the point where you love the other person. And this is always true that this is how I have to relate to other people. I can't say that. We're filming a show for the broad public and you need lots of experience and wisdom in order to correctly deal with whatever a person has to deal with in every moment in life. Sometimes there are people that you meet and you feel that as if they suck all the energy out of you. Once they leave, you feel that you're really drained. And there are people that you meet and you feel that they really filled you up. Now, you're probably going to tell me, look, it's not them, it's you. It's the way you approach them, how you look at them, your prejudice, your everything. But still, aren't there such people that simply deplete me, that, like, this is their role? Is there something like that? There is. How does it work? What is that exactly? It doesn't really matter. There are these and there are those. Why? In order for you to learn from it. How to treat everyone equally. Going back to the encounter between people, I finished a meeting with a certain person. Is something renewed in me after that? Of course. What? Based on your connection with that person, on how you connected. In your encounter, you've built some kind of an average image, the average of both of you. And this image exists. Now, how do you continue nourishing this image? Do you continue nourishing it, or do you want to take it apart, but it's already impossible? This average it represents the connection between us? Yes. And suppose it's an ongoing relationship, not something random. We're both supposed to look at this average image and nurture it? Ideally, yes. So I'm supposed not to relate to myself and my opinion and what I am or what I bring to this meeting, but I have to relate to the common image created as a result of our mutual encounter. This is something that you have to learn. It's not simple. I don't think that this is something that we can delve into. I want to ask about technology. We're living in a technologically advanced world. Today I can meet people, not only physically, but I can connect with someone on my computer, on my mobile, and meet someone from China. What's the difference, if there is a difference, between when I meet a person face-to-face or on the digital media? On digital meetings, maybe you're not even talking to a person, but you're talking to a computer. Right, but let's suppose I'm talking to a person. If so, then there's barely any difference. Maybe you have to add a few more forms of impression for you to better feel each other. But actually, you can be impressed in the very same way that you do in a face-to-face encounter. You said almost. Why almost? Because still, we're mostly impressed by what we call a physical meeting, face-to-face. Why? What's added here? I can't say, but it's a fact. How much people fly in order to do business together, different heads of state, different things. They're all the time doing these things. It's like, it's not enough for you to feel what you feel toward your child. You'll fly to see him. So what is that extra thing that you can't get in a digital meeting, but only on a physical one? Because this is how we're built, that our five senses have to get an impression in a direct way. Today, there are different holograms that allow us to do amazing things. A doctor can sit at home and participate in an operation through a hologram. When we will have these kinds of interactions with people, you said a robot, I talked about a hologram. The question is, what can't be put in this kind of interaction? What is there about a face-to-face encounter that we can never replace? Is there such a thing? I don't think so. So, technology will be able to connect us with each other, and there will be nothing missing. Nothing, because one way or another, I'm impressed by what I see, and my vision goes through different processes until I depict an image of that person inside of me. It all goes through media lines, inside of us or outside of us. So it's not that important. This is actually something that I see no problem to overcome. So the connection potential is the same. Furthermore, I see you on the screen. I click on your image, and immediately there is this sidebar where it says that you're like this and like that and your entire history and where did you go to prison and how many children you have and how beautiful you are and so on and so forth. But this is something that someone else wrote about me. This isn't your impression about me. We said that eventually you create an inner image of who I am, which is completely subjective. And why do I have to believe my as if objective perception? I'm not saying that you have to, but this is how it works. So I don't want to be bribed by my mechanism that I like your earrings and this necklace. I don't want to be bribed by it. In front of me, I want to see an object, not Yael or anything, but an object that I relate to according to healthy parameters. That image that's created and the encounter between two people happens on a digital meeting to the same extent, the average that we talked about. Within the framework of our life, yes. I wanted to understand regarding the emissary or the messenger, all the meetings that I have, whether they're digital or face-to-face meetings, whether they're short or long, whether I hate that person and I feel that he completely depletes me or that that person fills me up, I see that there's the same attitude towards all of this, that first of all, it puts all the responsibility on me, not on the other person. And the other thing is that don't look at how that person seems to you, but he's actually a representative of that general system that comes to teach me something. So what do all of these meetings come to teach me eventually? That the entire world was created for me. They're all coming to meet me in different situations that I experience in order for me to learn from all of them how to position myself in the best, most correct possible way in order to bring the force of good into this world, in order to be the conduit of the upper force into our world. The upper force being who or what? The good that does good to the good and the bad that brings love and fulfillment to all. This is how I have to relate to myself. That you have to be his representative. Okay, and all the interactions that I have with other people, it's just a platform or it's in order for you to know how to position yourself in order to be the transition. It has to do with the calibration we talked about. Yes? Why is it important to calibrate myself in order not to distort the message that the upper force wants to deliver into this world through you? To really be the helper, the servant, a conduit of love. Amazing. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.